Hello and welcome to the programme which looks at the Holy Land. I am Paul Calvert. Psalm 92 verse 13 from the New King James Bible says this: "Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God."
I'm with Sammy and Vicky Steen from Glasgow Friends of Israel. Now, what is Glasgow Friends of Israel?
Well, Glasgow Friends of Israel is an organization that advocates for peace between the Israeli and the Palestinian people. We started the organization 9 years ago in 2015 after the last war, which was in 2014, because just like today, the media and the radio and television were all very anti-Israel, and we felt there had to be some balance put in place. So we started this organization, and we do a number of different things, including the Zooms we've just discussed. But our main activity is we have a weekly advocacy stall on a Saturday, on a Shabbat, in the middle of Glasgow city centre. And we talk to people in the street about the Middle East conflict. We try and give them not only information, we have a lot of material, leaflets and booklets that we give people. We try to talk to as many people and give them a slightly different perspective, which we believe is a correct and true perspective as to what's happening, because on either side of us, there are two what we call Israel hater stalls. They obviously tell a different narrative than the one that we do, and we try and give people information about what's going on in Israel and in the Palestinian territories.
That must be very difficult between, you know, two hater groups near you.
Well, it used to be difficult, but not so much now. We don't have any interaction with them. They refuse to talk to us, which is okay because they're pretty nasty individuals. It's interesting to say that one of them, one of the stalls has been there for longer than we have. They call themselves a Palestinian stall, but there are no Palestinians on the stall. They're all Scottish left-wing individuals who hate Israel. And there's no way you can have a reasonable conversation with them. The other one is a one-man stall manned by a guy who I believe is originally from Gaza, and he mans that stall. But neither of those stalls have very many visitors compared to what we have, and I don't think they have the opportunity to tell their story in the way that we tell ours.
What sort of people are part of your group?
Well, it's important to emphasize that we are not a Jewish group. We don't have members, we just have volunteers. And we have volunteers of all religions and none. And I think about half of the people that attend the stall are usually Christian, which is very surprising for people. But that's deliberate because we know that there are many Christians in Glasgow that support Israel. And we are delighted to have them with us on the stall every Shabbat.
I imagine that many Christians are supporting because the Bible does talk about, "I will give you this land," and it's an eternal covenant. So is it the Bible that is actually causing Christians to stand next to the Jewish people?
Yes, we have quite a number of evangelical Christians, but we also have a great number of Catholic people. Now, it's since October the 7th, we've had three wonderful Catholic ladies who have come to stand with us every single week and talk to people, hold up photographs of the hostages, and that is really nothing to do with the Bible, but or to do with religion. It's really everybody that comes to see us. But as I say, there are quite a number of evangelical Christians. Yes, there are indeed.
But we say, as you said at the very beginning, Paul, that all of us who are at the stall and all of us who work together have a heart for Israel. And that's very important when we explain to people why we have such a variety of people at the stall and also at many of our events. It's really people who want to see a peaceful resolution with security for both sides. And those are the kind of people that come and support us at the stall.
What is the mood like in Scotland when it comes to Israel? Is there a lot of anti-Semitism?
Scotland has never been known for a high level of anti-Semitism. And I would say that the anti-Semitism we experience in Scotland is much lower than there is in England. We don't see much of it. I mean, we have seen it, and we do see it on a regular basis, but it tends to be very low-key, and I wouldn't say that's something that we experience, although we do stand at the stall, and we do stand up against racism in general, and anti-Semitism in particular. And every year there is, in Glasgow and in the rest of the UK, there is an organization called Stand Up to Racism, and we as a group always try and participate in the march. And we say we are marching to demonstrate against anti-Semitism.
You're out on the streets. Do you face violence when you're out on the street? Is it very hostile towards you?
In the 9 years we've been on the street, we've never seen any violence at the stall. We do get people that walk up and down and are quite, I suppose, vociferous. They would shout things. They would...
Genocide, yeah, apartheid state, yeah. Free Palestine, but really nothing much more than that.
We've never faced any violence at all, Paul, in all that time.
No, we have dozens, and I mean dozens of people who come every single week. They come and they tell us how much they support us. They say we are the silent majority. We have visitors from different countries that come to Glasgow, especially over the summertime. They a huge amount of support. And Sammy spoke about the other two stalls, the Israel hater stalls, and we've even taken photographs of them. There's nobody there. Nobody wants to talk to people who hate. And we have, sometimes we can have 14 or 15 volunteers at the stall. And a couple of weeks ago, I counted over, I think, 32 people standing around our stall having different conversations about Israel and their support. It is incredibly supportive and very, very positive. And can I say, we are really, I think, the only people that do this. People come, and especially Israelis, they come and say, we've never seen anything like this before. Never. I don't think there's many other people that do this in the UK.
No, I don't think there's anyone that does this in the UK regularly every week like we do.
I imagine Israelis must be shocked if they come on holiday to Scotland and they suddenly see their flag and people loving and supporting Israel, because this isn't really sort of what Israelis get around the world, is it?
People believe that Scotland and Glasgow in particular is an anti-Israel city. And all Israelis are afraid to show and tell people they're Israeli, and they come by the stall and they just cannot believe, as you say, there is a stall in the middle of Glasgow city centre with Israeli flags, of which there are many, and banners that talk about Israel, and a group called Glasgow Friends of Israel, and a lot of material on the table that is all to do with Israel. And I think people have the impression that Glasgow might be pro-Palestinian because these haters and these pro-Palestinians make such a loud noise. And they are, you know, they're quite active because they have, these days, they have demonstrations every Saturday. But they're a small number of people compared to the people in Glasgow, and they're a very small minority.
Has your work become harder since October the 7th, or has it been actually a door of opportunity to share more about Israel?
It's become easier, I would say, Paul, because people know a lot more about what's happening, and many of the people that come to the stall were shocked by October the 7th, and they are very interested to find out more about what's going on. So not only do we have more volunteers at the stall because of October the 7th, more people come to the stall to talk and listen to what's going on. So I would say it's become easier rather than harder in the last year or so.
Now, your website has a section called Israel Facts. What are some of the facts about Israel?
Well, we've actually got leaflets on the table that talk about Israel facts. And it depends what we talk about, but we try and always emphasize the good points about Israel and what Israel is doing and how people, even in Scotland, are benefiting from what Israel is doing in the fact that they use technology that's been designed or manufactured in Israel. People don't know that quite a large proportion of the medications and drugs that are given by the Scottish NHS are from Israel. And we tend to, if we can, talk about other things than just the conflict. And we give people information, booklets like the one you've just mentioned, facts about Israel. But I would say most people that come really want to talk about the situation with regards to the war and how we see that ever finishing and what would happen. And people ask a lot of questions about the politics in the country and the government and Bibi and what's happening. So it's a whole mixture of topics that we discuss. But we do like to talk about other things apart from the conflict. And we do that, but I would say most of the conversations are about the conflict, because a lot of people come to the stall who are very angry at what's going on. As Vicky said, they come up with all sorts of slogans and negative comments, and we try and explain to them what's actually going on and why we are where we are today.
How do you defend Israel when there are accusations of genocide?
Well, what I normally say is that South Africa accused Israel of genocide to the International Court of Justice because they said that Israel is committing genocide by its incursion into Gaza. The ICJ did not demand that Israel stops its military operation, which therefore means that the ICJ did not believe or do not believe that there's genocide going on. And therefore, if the ICJ doesn't believe there's genocide going on, how could anybody else know better?
And of course, we don't really quite have all the facts, do we, about facts about a situation. And anything from the Palestinian side is coming from Hamas, which is a terrorist organization.
Yes.
And we don't know if we can believe all their facts and figures, can we?
Well, last Saturday, I had a very, very vociferous argument with a very unpleasant individual who came to the stall and shouted about genocide and about all the children being killed, and that there are 60,000 people being killed in Gaza. And I said, well, how do you know that? He said, I know it. United Nations are saying it. And I said, but the United Nations numbers are coming from Hamas. And how could you possibly believe that Hamas are telling you the truth? So nobody really knows the number, but we do know that the number that people are talking about is not the correct number, and it's exaggerated.
So really, it's just a lack of understanding and accurate information when it comes to Israel, isn't it?
Absolutely. And to some extent, you can't really blame people for not knowing the facts, because we don't know the facts and nobody actually tells us what the facts are with regards to things like how many people have been killed and where everybody is and what's happening. So people make up their own mind. And if they do hear anything, they hear it from the media, which I still believe is very anti-Israel in general. And therefore, anything people hear would tend to be information that they would like to shout and scream about when it comes to what Israel is doing. So to some extent, that's why we feel it's so important we're on the street, because we try and tell people the truth. We try and tell people what we know or think is happening, in order to try and oppose the general view out there that Israel is committing genocide, Israel's killed 60,000 people, and Israel wants to take over Gaza and stay there. You know, we talk about Judea and Samaria and what's happening there. So we feel it's very, very important that we are there and we are able to address some of these lies and uncertainties.
Are many people surprised when they hear your answer?
Well, again, it's a mixture, I would say, Paul. Because some people do know that they don't know very much, and they're prepared to listen. The difficulty always tends to be with the people who've got preconceived ideas, and they think they know what's going on, and they come to shout about it. And then we try and have a sort of sociable, constructive discussion about it, and sometimes they believe it, and sometimes they don't. But the most important thing is that we are able to talk about it and explain, and we want give in to people who shout at us because they think they know better.
You've already spoken about Zoom meetings. Tell us about the Zoom meetings that you do and what sort of people do you have on those meetings?
We've had Zoom meetings mostly since COVID, because before COVID, we used to have speaker events in person. And we had all sorts of people that came to speak, from politicians, community leaders, people from Israel. And of course, since COVID, it's been more difficult to have these, and some people are still not prepared to go out. So we've realized that it's much better to use Zoom events, not only because more people can join, but we have more of a choice about who the speakers might be, because they don't have to be here in person. So to give an example, this week we're having a Zoom event with a guy called David Collier. He lives in London, and he has been for a long time fighting anti-Semitism and anti-Israel rhetoric. He's quite a well-known guy in the UK. And if you don't know him, I would recommend that you look him up. The previous Zoom we had was quite interesting because there was a medical conference in Glasgow of oncologists, and there was a company from Israel called Alpha Tau Medical, who are developing medications for cancer. And what they do is very, very unusual. And I met them here, and I asked their CTO to do a Zoom from Israel. And he did, and that was very interesting. So we have a whole variety of people. We've had the IDF spokesman do a Zoom, because there's an IDF spokesman who was born in Glasgow. Don't know if you know that. His name is Richard Hecht, and he still has much family in Glasgow. He went to live in Israel when he was a young child, and he is no longer the spokesman. But when he was a spokesman, we asked him to do a Zoom, and he did a Zoom for us. We've had a few Zooms with the chief executive of MDA UK, Magen David Adom UK, who we collect money for at the stall. And we've had a very good Zoom with him. So we've had a whole host of... We had one with a guy called Clive Hart, who used to be a football agent in the UK. And he brought some Israeli football players to Scotland to play here. And he now lives in Israel. And we've had him as a speaker. So it varies. It's whoever we feel can give us an interesting perspective on what's going on. The other thing we've been doing, again, we haven't done it for a while. We used to have a conference every year. For the first 5 years, we had a conference every year, but we didn't have any during COVID. But next year, 2025, is going to be our 10th birthday, which is incredible that we've survived for 10 years. And we're going to have a conference in May next year, which will be our 10th anniversary.
So, do you think that there can be peace between Israel and the Palestinians?
Well, again, what I say to people at the stall is that every conflict in the world has eventually been resolved. And not only has it been resolved, it's been resolved only through negotiation. So maybe in my lifetime, I won't be able to see peace, but I believe there will be peace. And I often refer to what's happened in Ireland and how there's peace in Ireland now. And I do believe that one day, just like when President Sadat met Prime Minister Begin, and they felt that it was more important for them to help their people rather than worry about their own position, and they made peace, I believe that one day there will be two leaders in Israel and the Palestinians who again will believe that it's more important to have peace for their people. And I hope and believe that it will be peace, yes.
What is your prayer and your hope finally for the work that you do in Glasgow?
Well, just to be able to continue it, because most of the members are quite elderly now. We don't have that many young people. And my concern is we might get to the stage that most of our members will no longer be able to continue to do this work. And my hope is that there will be younger people coming through who will be able to continue what we've started and have been doing very successfully for almost 10 years. And of course, there should be peace.
What is your website and your Facebook page for people who'd love to know more about the work that you do and perhaps even come and join you in Glasgow?
Well, our website is just called Glasgow Friends of Israel. You can find that. And our Facebook is called Glasgow FOI, Glasgow Friends of Israel, Glasgow FOI, which I think you've said you've seen it. And it's a very, very, very active website. We've also got a YouTube channel where we put all our videos of conferences we've had and speakers we've had. And we're about to start Instagram. And we've also got a Twitter X account as well. So we try and be everywhere on social media as much as we can. And we have an email address called info@GlasgowFriendsOfIsrael.com. And if anybody wants to know anything about us, please, could they send us an email, and we promise to get back to them.
Well, Sammy and Vicky, thank you very much for sharing today.
Oh, thanks for inviting
us. Oh, it's been great to talk to you, Paul.
Thank you for joining us today. Pray that God will move by his mighty power in the Holy Land and bring his peace.